Okay, Mr. Rogers, hold one moment, sir. Who's going to Mr. Rogers?
What about your regret sheet?
No, that's not... I'm sorry, I had Mr. Lundy at the top.
Yes, sir.
Apologize for that. Mr. Rogers, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
Can you state your full name and agency number for the record?
Yes, sir. Christopher Anthony Rogers, 260-407.
Thank you, sir. And good afternoon, pardon me. Good morning.
Mr. Craig.
Good morning to you, too, sir.
Mr. Quinones?
Yes.
Mr. Craig, yes.
You need to amend the warrant?
Yes, sir.
First page, CSCD. Need to change that from 329-18 to 316-18.
Thank you, sir. Okay, back to you, Mr. Robles. Again, good morning.
Good morning to you, too.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on April 3rd, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
I believe so.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. See no attorney with you, or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself today, sir.
Thank you very much. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. If you can see on your teleconference screen, we'll begin with me because I'm the individual sitting closest to you. My name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for this hearing. Next to me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. At the center of the bench is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. After him is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. And at the opposite side of the bench is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. Also present in the room is our Community Corrections Officer, Mr. Grady, as well as representing the Department of Corrections, as well as your parole officer.
Hello.
Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So Mr. Robles and Mr. Grady, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
I do, sir.
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Robles, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. When I read the allegation to you, you need to respond whether it is true or false. If you believe the allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we can talk about it. But keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, sir.
Now again, we're only in the first phase of the hearing. And I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal ways or company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number two is demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report him for a face-to-face contact visit at the Pinal Regional Parole Office at 1308 East Butte Avenue, Florence, Arizona, on or about January 31st, 2018, as verbally directed on January 16, 2018. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you're an absconder from supervision. Mr. Robles, is this true or false?
That's true, sir.
Thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Robles' admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision that he may have or have lapsed in the criminal ways of company.
Second.
Agree.
Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, Mr. Robles, we're going to continue with the second phase of your hearing. It is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Grady, our Community Corrections Officer, is going to give us additional background information. If you'll just remain on the phone, we will come back to you shortly for questions, and we'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Grady.
Mr. Rhodes was released from DOC on January 16th of 2018. He was arrested on March 27th of 2018 by Tucson PD on misdemeanor, obstruction, refused true name. He was returned back to DOC on March 28th of 2018. He has a CCD on May 10th of 2018 and reflects 55 abscond days. Current conviction, 2016, narcotic drug violation, 1 year, 6 months. Prior conviction, 2011, burglary, third degree, 2 years. 2013, misconduct involving weapons, 2 years, 6 months. 2013, child abuse, 3 years. He has 2 terms with DLC. His CE by R scores of 4.4, mental health scores of 3, substance use scores of 3. He's affiliated with the criminal street gang, Manzanita and Lynchmob. Prior term to supervision, 2012, TIS release, absconded for 76 days, arrested on ABC warrant only, revoked by BOEC. 2016, TIS release, absconded for 169 days, arrested for narcotic drug violation, drug paraphernalia, and escape third degree, agreed CSED before seeing the BOEC. Disciplinary violations are moderate with drugs noted. Under arrest, 1997, arson, unoccupied structure, Arizona juvenile probation. 2001, burglary, third degree, Arizona juvenile probation. 2001, burglary, second degree, Arizona juvenile probation. 2001, theft of means of transportation, Arizona juvenile probation. 2004, misconduct involving weapons, Arizona felony conviction, probation. He's got a community risk score of a G5, V6. And the status of his charges are pending.
Thank you, Mr. Grady. Back to you, Mr. Robles. I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you are released from the Department of Corrections with a pre-approved residence with your girlfriend, Leland Gomez, at 1050 North 9th Street, Apartment 14, Coolidge, Arizona. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Is that the only place that you lived outside of the prison system?
No, I did in Tucson. That's my original residence, but my mom and my brother, they got a house, the house at school, so I couldn't use their address, so I went and asked my girlfriend how to use her for now, her full-age address.
So when you were arrested on your absconder status, you were living in Tucson?
Yes.
At your mother's residence?
No. I was just living on the street.
We have some employment notes. It looks like that you did not provide proof of employment, but were you able to find work?
Yes, sir.
Where were you working, sir?
For a landscaping company. I was getting paid under the table.
Well, it's good that you were working. That's always a good sign. We have programming notes that you were referred to Canal and Hispanic Council for substance abuse counseling. You were supervised approximately 2 weeks before you absconded, so there were no samples taken from you either oral or through your analysis. So. Because you referred to substance abuse counseling, did you have ongoing issues with drug abuse, Mr. Robles?
I am in high school, yes I did. I have I suffer from PTSD and schizophrenic disorders, and I was self-medicating. I wasn't really in the right state of mind. Things just went down a little
bit. What drugs would you self-medicate with, sir?
With, I'm smoking weed and methamphetamine.
And, when is the last time you've used drugs, sir?
It was March the 26th. Jane for her anniversary.
Well, thank you, sir. You absconded from community supervision for 55 days, and I see that you also have a past with absconding from community supervision, but what were you doing for the 55 days that you were missing, sir?
Well, when I got released, I went straight to the parole board, went to the parole office. My parole officer wasn't there, so I talked to a man, and he wrote everything down and filled out the papers. I didn't make it to Lena and my girlfriend, who I was writing to while I was incarcerated. I went looking for the mother of my child in Tucson, and I was working a landscaping job, and things just spiraled out. She was on drugs, and then I started getting into drugs, and she was later on murdered by police department. Her name's Amanda Alvarez. Pretty sure you heard about it.
Well, sir, that's pretty strong language, and I'm not going to be defensive because I don't know the facts of that case, but why do you say murdered by the police department?
Well, no, she was shot. I didn't say murdered. Excuse my name. Yeah, she was shot. And I just lost it after that, sir.
Well, thank you. And please accept our condolences for losing somebody near you. Why did you decide to break off contact with your parole officer for 55 days, sir?
Well, I was trying to fix the mother of my child. She, when I got out, found out she was on drugs. And it was just 2 days, sir. She was gone. Her mind, she wasn't the same. And I just thought that I could help her out, and I was scared to come back to prison, being that I just got out. So I wasn't trying to come back. And I just couldn't help her like I thought I would, and now I lost it, you know. It's just going through some tough times, I guess, but I don't know, you guys don't care.
So that's not necessarily true that we don't care. We do have to make some hard decisions on behalf of the people of Arizona, especially regarding public safety and returning people to the community. But, accept our condolences for the loss of someone near you. That's tragic, any way you slice it.
I just went downhill after that, and my mom and my brother were always encouraging me to just turn myself in, and which I was going to. I was going through a tough time, and accepting that she's gone now, you know?
What was it that caused the Tucson Police Department to make contact with you when you were arrested on your absconder status?
Well, I was at a friend's house, and I don't know if he had a problem with some individuals, and I just was inside the house, and the cops wanted to ask whoever was there to ask questions, and they're asking the question that, you know, I wasn't trying to come back to prison so soon, and that's how I got in contact with you.
Okay, so I'm going to ask my fellow board members, do you have any questions for you? I don't have any questions from fellow board members. Mr. Robles, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us. But this is your hearing, so is there anything else that you feel you need to share?
Yes, I just wanted to let the board know that I apologize for all my wrongdoings, and if possible, if I can get a chance to prove that I am a good member of society, I won't let anybody down. Thank you for your time, and God bless.
Thank you, Mr. Robles. The board will be going in discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you directly, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona. So if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Robles. The board is now in discussion. All board members, this is a tragic case in as much that Mr. Robles seems to have a history of non-compliance with his community supervision conditions. Looks like that he had at least three times that he'd absconded and he was missing from community supervision for 55 days and seemed to have relapsed back into methamphetamine abuse. He made reference to the tragedy regarding I think he stated the mother of his children, and I certainly feel for his plight, but if I can be positive on this, he only has 24 days left before he's done with community supervision. Done with his prison sentence. I recognize that he's still dealing with a pending misdemeanor in the local courts in Tucson, but it's been my experience that with 24 days left, even if he was released a few days earlier, that there'd be very little time for him to deal with the administrative process of being reassigned to a parole officer and being put back on community supervision. But fundamentally, I'm not seeing him as a good candidate for community supervision, and I'm certainly open to the discussion with my colleagues. Therefore, I'm going to make a motion and see what the votes line. And that is based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2018W0555, a discussion with Mr. Robles, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Robles was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in the criminal history company, inasmuch that he absconded for 55 days, that we could not account for his activity, and that he relapsed into drug abuse, and that is my motion.
Second.
Green.
Seconded by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Neal. Mr. Robles, your supervision has been revoked, and I usually say and, but this is a good time to say but, you will be released on May 10, 2018, which is only 24 days away. When you're released, you will have no community supervision, there will be no parole officer, and you'll be able to pursue your own interests. As I stated, there's no exact timeline, but there's a pretty high probability that you would not have been released any sooner than 24 days because of the administrative requirements. So we do wish you a safe and productive return to the community. Please put together a plan so that you can be productive on your way back to the community. You'll be able to return to your family, and we do want to see you succeed. And again, please accept our condolences for the loss of your friend.
Thank you.
This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and Mr. Robles, we'd appreciate it if you'd give the phone to your CO3. Thank you, sir.